We had a good preacher's fellowship yesterday, and they always help me. Sometimes I don't even want to go. We were talking on the way back, and Brother Jack and I and Brother Bailey were talking, and we said something about, you know, it's hard to go on Saturdays because of people working during the week. It's hard to take off and to go. And I said, sometimes I don't even want to go. But when I make myself go, it always helps me. And it helped me yesterday to get there and be into preaching. And it's always a great honor that I don't take lightly to get to preach with Brother Lewis Arnold. And he's 94 years old. Of course, he was here last Sunday. And he and I got to preach together again yesterday. And that's always a blessing. And we enjoyed being there in the fellowship. One of the preachers, I think it was there somewhere, made mention of talking about preachers from different areas. And he was telling about a preacher from Kentucky that told a corny story that was real corny. And it made me think of a story I heard another preacher tell that was that he told. And he said that the corniest story he ever heard anybody tell was a preacher from Kentucky. And he said that there was a man and his wife, and their names were Mr. and Mrs. Corn. And he said they had a little baby and they named it Nubbins. And he said it had little white silk hair. And the neighbors come over to see it and said, "Aw, shucks." And I agree with him. That's about the corniest story I think I ever heard. I want to preach this morning. I want to begin preaching this morning a series that I'm going to preach forever how long the Lord leads me to preach it. And I'm going to preach a series on people who met Jesus. People who met Jesus. This morning I'm preaching on the tax collector who received an audit. The tax collector who received an audit. We're going to begin our reading in the verse 1 of chapter 19, very familiar story. And the Bible said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was there chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Thank you. May be seated. Our Father, as we come to you, Lord, once again, oh God, we come today and we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that, Lord, is a food for our soul. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God that is the meal barrel for the preacher that never does run dry. Lord, there's always enough there for another meal. And Lord, if there's not, it's never on the part of the meal barrel, but it's always on the part of us that are reaching in. And God, as we pray this morning, Lord, we thank you for stirring our hearts to be made to remember of the day that I personally met Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for what a change, what a wonderful change has come into my life since Jesus came into my heart. I thank you, Lord, today that the greatest of all miracles was the day that my Jesus saved me. And Father, I have seen him loose the chains of sin and set people free, and many of them sitting right here in front of me this morning. And God, as I pray today and begin to preach upon this series that I feel led of God to preach on for a while. I pray that God would anoint it and anoint me to preach it, anoint these that listen to hear it. And God, may you take each one that's saved back to that time and place whenever they met the Lord and make it new in their hearts and refresh it in their spirits, Lord, that they would not take it for granted what God has done. And I pray that during this time of preaching that there'll be some people, some men, some women, some boys and girls that might meet Jesus in salvation and be saved by the grace of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for saving us, for keeping us clean, for giving us a promise you're coming back for us. And Father, keeping it real in my heart, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In our local paper here each day in the Glasgow Daily Times, they have a little section down at the bottom of the page where that they will ask the question to whoever it is that they chose to speak to that week. And they will ask people several things such as what is your favorite food, or what is the hobby that you like the best. Or I think the final question is always this question, if you could meet somebody, who would you like to meet? And many people will give many different answers, of course, varying to their desires, I guess. And many will pick out a sports person or maybe a political person or maybe someone of power or prestige or something of that nature. I've never been interviewed. I've never been asked and really don't care if I am or if I ain't. But I have pondered the thought. The Bible said, be all so ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you. And I have thought that if one day I were to be walked upon and asked the questions by the reporter, whoever it is that does that, what I might say. I know if he had asked Zacchaeus on that day, I know that he would have said, I would like to meet Jesus. Amen. Someone said, would you say that? No, I wouldn't say that because I met him 40 years ago. I met him 40 years ago at an altar of prayer, and he became very real in my heart. You say, what would you say? I think I would say, I would like to meet any sinner around that would like to know how to be saved. Because I'd like to tell him how to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. When I think about this story, it stirs my heart this morning to think about the people that met Jesus. And I think about what a difference it is when you meet Jesus. I've met people that changed my life some. I've met people that when I met them, they made an impression on my life a little bit. But I've never met anybody and never will meet anybody that changed me like Jesus did. Amen. I'll tell you, if you've ever met him, there's nobody like him. Years ago, there was a lady in our church that brought her uncle or grandfather, I can't remember which one, and she brought him here to our church. That lady was asked to introduce me to him, and he gave me his card, and I still remember it. He said, my name is Bob Whitlow. And he said, if you've not met me, you've not missed a thing. But he said, my Savior is Jesus Christ. And he said, if you miss him, you'll miss it all. I want to tell you, my friend, if you've not met Jesus, my prayer is that you will meet him. You'll meet him this morning in such a way you'll be confronted with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost of God. And the Word of God, and you'll meet Jesus in a way that your life will never ever be the same again. Let's look at just a few things about this morning. I want to look first of all at the motive behind the meeting. I want to look at what it was that motivated this man, Zacchaeus, to even want to meet Jesus. The Bible says in verse 2, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Verse 3 said, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Why was it that Jesus was passing through Jericho on this morning? Why is it that Jesus was coming through Jericho one more time, for the last time, if you know your Bible, that this was the last time that Jesus would be passing through Jericho? What was it that made Jesus come through? I believe what it was that Jesus knew that there was a little Jewish man there named Zacchaeus that had a desire to see who Jesus was. And I believe this morning if there was someone here today in Glasgow, Kentucky, at 105 Kentucky Street, at Bethel Baptist Church, I believe if there was someone that came this way and they said, I've come today, I want to meet Jesus. I believe he had passed by this way this morning in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and he would make sure you met him today. Amen. And so when I look at this and I think about Zacchaeus and I think about the reason that he wanted to see who Jesus was, I believe that number one, I believe that I won't be doing any harm to the text, Brother Joe, to say that I believe that he was a lonely person. You say, why do you think he was a lonely person? Well, several things give credits in the text to that to me. First of all, it says there was a man named Zacchaeus. Only one. There was a man. No one was with him. There was no one there but him. I think about that, and I believe this morning that seems to indicate there were no friends around him. You see, he was a tax collector. He was a publican, if you will. He was the man that came to your house and made sure you paid those back taxes. I'm sure he would do whatever he needed to do to collect that money. He had one of the worst jobs, I guess, that there is, and that is the job of collecting bills that people can't pay or won't pay. That's what Zacchaeus was. There's some jobs that if you take those jobs, you limit the number of friends you're going to have. You do understand that, don't you? There's some jobs that if you take them, you automatically cut down on the number or the level of friends that you're going to have. And it seemed like Zacchaeus did not have any friends, for there was no one around him. And then it seems like that in all probability that he may not even have had a family because Jesus didn't say like he did in Mark 5, go home to thy friends, go home to the family, go home and tell them what great things that God has done. But he simply said, today I must abide at your house. And so it seemed like that he may have been a lonely man. No friends, no family. And then we look at where he was found. The Bible said that he was up a tree. They wasn't two or three up there with him. But he was up there all by himself. I know he got up there because he needed the elevation to see who Jesus was. But one wonders if he didn't also get up there to get away from the crowd and those that maybe didn't like him because they knew about his former life. There's many lonely people in the world. And they don't have any friends. They don't have any family. You find them all by themselves most of the time. Can I tell you what a friend is Jesus? Can I tell you if you'll meet him today, I can guarantee you you'll always have a friend and one that will stick closer than a brother. You say, Brother Rick, I'm lonely today. I have no family. If you'd meet him and be saved by him, you'd get you a family this morning. It's called the family of God. It's called a church. It's called the assembly of the firstborn. I want you to know that you'd have a father. You'd have an elder brother. You'd have many brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. And I believe that he was coming to see who Jesus was because he lived a lonely life. He was looking for a friend. He was looking for family. He was looking for someone that might care about him. Not only was he lonely, but I believe that the Scripture to me indicates that he was longing. For he was a man that I believe was a very rich man. The Bible said, he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man, I won't just pay him back what I've taken. But he said, I'll give it back to him fourfold. He would have had to have been a very rich man. He would have had to have had a lot of possessions. But yet all the things he might have had, land, houses, money, all of this had left a longing down in his heart. There was still something down there that longed for something that money had not fulfilled. There was something down there that longed for something that position and prestige had not filled. There was something down in there that longed for something that power had not filled. You say, what was it, Brother Rick? I believe it was the longing in every man's soul, in every woman's soul. There's a longing down there for something that nothing in this world can ever satisfy, because you can't satisfy it with the things of this world. But it's only satisfied when the God, the Holy Ghost, comes down and makes up His abode in your heart. Amen. I'm telling you that He was longing for something. And then, of course, most importantly, not only was He lonely and longing, but He was lost. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was lost. Would you let your mind go back to the days and weeks and months before you met Jesus? Would you let your minds just be carried back for a little while this morning to the life you lived before you met Jesus? Would you go back and stand in your living room and listen and look around for a little while of what your life was like before you met Jesus? Will you go this morning and stand in the circle of your friends? Will you look down the list of the things that bound you and the sins that held your life before you met Jesus? Can I tell you, to be lost is terrible. To be lost is one of the worst things that is. It is, without a doubt, the worst thing that anyone could ever be in this world, is to be lost. I say, Brother Paul Barnes, he got saved by the grace of God. But Brother Paul got saved, he come down with cancer. He had cancer and was taking treatments. And I said to Brother Paul one day, I said, he's got cancer and he's got it in the worst way. And someone said, what do you mean? I said, well, he's got cancer and he's lost. Can I tell you, if you've got terminal illness and you're saved, you've not got it in the worst way that you could have it. But if you got a terminal cancer and illness and a death sentence on your life, but you're saved still, I tell you, you still got something to shout about and something to look forward to. Amen. And you still got a healing to come, and thank God. And I want you to know that he was lost. He was lost. You say, what do you think happened to him? It's speculation. But I'm wondering if one day he didn't go, Brother Station, report into the office. And as he was reporting in, looking around at all the others, he said, where's Matthew at? And someone said, Matthew's not here anymore. What happened to him? Well, the tale is that one day he was sitting at his table at his receipt of customs. He was being paid, and the tale is that a man come by and said, he stopped at the table and he said, come along and follow me. And they said, I don't know what happened, but he just seemed to drop everything and lose all of his ambition. And something happened to him and he left that day, and he went and followed this man, even made a big feast in his house for him. And he says, the word is around town that Matthew got saved. That his life has changed. He said he'll never go back to his old ways anymore. And I think Zacchaeus said, did anyone catch the name of that man? Someone said, I'm not sure, but it was kind of a name that you didn't forget once you heard it. Oh, what was that name? Oh, yes, I remembered. It was a name, and the name was Jesus. And someone said that name, Jesus, said it is a name that means He shall save His people from their sins. And someone said that name means Savior. And I believe Zacchaeus down in his heart, he said, that's what I need. I need a Savior. That's what I need. I need somebody that can save me from my sins. Does anyone know where He is? And I believe that he began to try to find out the location of where that he might meet this man, Jesus. There are some locations that are better for meeting Him than other locations. And someone said, I heard that He's going to be passing through Jericho. And I heard He's already there. And this morning there was a man there named Bartimaeus. And he came by and he opened up his blinded eyes. And I think he said down in his heart, I got to meet this man. I got to see this man, Jesus. And so he set out to locate Jesus. You said, Brother Rick, doesn't that kind of contradict the Bible? Because the Bible said there's none that seeketh after God. Oh, no. You see, Zacchaeus would have never sought after God if God hadn't have been seeking after him. Because the Bible said the Son of Man is come. And if He hadn't have come down, we wouldn't be coming to Him. We wouldn't be seeking Him. Amen. I want you to understand that it always starts on God's end. Sinners are not looking for God, but God is looking for sinners. And God let some Matthew come by your life. Someone you knew, someone you know has been changed by the power of God. And that stirs up your interest. That stirs up your faith. That stirs up your hope. If God could do that for a Stacy Young, God could do that for me. If God could do that for an Eddie Wade, God could do that for me. If God could do that for a Jack Richardson, God could do that for me. If God could do that for men and women, and it stirs up hope and faith. Amen. And I believe that he sought Jesus because he thought he could do something for me. We look at the motive behind this meeting. I want to look here in verse 5. And I want to look at the man he met. For the Bible said, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. I think sometimes we make a mistake in preaching and teaching from this portion of Scripture, these 10 verses here in Luke 19. I think that sometimes us teachers and preachers, we make a bad mistake. You say, how so, Brother Rick? I think we focus too much upon the man up the tree. Instead of focusing on the man on the way to the tree. You see, all of you and I was up a tree. Someone said, man, they're up a tree with a limb cut off. They're up a tree. Can I tell you, every sinner that's lost today, you're up a tree. I was up a tree. But I'm glad one day, thank God, that someone came down and went up a tree for me and died on the bloody cruel cross of Calvary that men might be saved. Thank God he went up the tree that I could come down the tree. Amen. And so I want to look at the man that he met. Oh, look at this man. His name is Jesus. There's nobody like him. You say, what's so special about this man, Jesus? Well, number one, he knows our literal names. The Bible said Jesus come through Jericho. He's never seen Zacchaeus before. Zacchaeus has never seen him. But the Bible says he comes through Jericho. And as he comes through, no doubt there must have been a crowd because Zacchaeus climbed up the tree so he could see over the crowd. But the Bible said Jesus came. And the Bible said he walked right over to the tree where Zacchaeus was. And he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm glad that we're serving a God that knows us. Amen. You say, God doesn't know me. Oh, yes. God knows your name. God knows the number of the hairs that are upon your head. God knows all about you this morning. You say, God doesn't know me. Oh, yes. God knows every sinner. You say, I didn't believe that. Well, it's true. The Bible said that God came where he was and said, Zacchaeus, come down. He wasn't saved. The Bible said that God, Jesus, came and to the where Nathanael was. And he said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, how'd you know me? And he said, before I ever seen you under the tree, I knew you. You said, I didn't think God knows sinners. He knew one of the worst sinners that ever was on a horse on a Damascus road. He was on his way to arrest and kill Christians. And the Bible said there was a light that fell about him from heaven and a voice in the Hebrew tongue that said, Saul, Saul, I'm telling you, he knows the worst of sinners, amen. And he knows you this morning. I want you to know that he knows me this morning. And he knows me now and he knew me then. You say, Brother Rick, how can that be? I tell you, God knows everything. But you know how he knows you this morning? He knows you like a lost sinner. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, Zacchaeus, come down. You need to be saved. He said, Nathanael, come and follow me. He knows you right now as a sinner. He knows you right now as a sinner. I remember the day he come back to where I was, back in the little church, in the back of the church, in the pew. And I remember the day he squeezed in to where I was, hiding behind a songbook, kneeling down behind those around me. And in so many words that he spoke to my heart and said, today I must abide in your house.
Amen.
He knew me. Carolyn Gibson, he knew you. When that preacher came down the street there, at Mumford Mill. And they turned into that drive and walked up and knocked on that house. And that little lost Catholic red-headed lady come to the door. And those preachers said, we want to talk to you a little while. And you say, what did they say? I don't know, but I know this. They said the gospel because she got saved, amen. Bill Gilarkini and Jean on that Thursday night when two men drove down the road for road and wheeled in that house and knocked on that door and came in that kitchen and Jesus said, today I must abide in your house, amen. I'm telling you, he knows every lost sinner. But let me say this before I say anything else. If you die lost without Jesus, he'll never know you anymore. The Bible said in Luke chapter 19, he said there was a beggar named Lazarus. But he said there was a certain rich man that laid at his gate, begging from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Amen. His name is not given. Brother Tripp said that some preacher said, and stirred my heart that night, he said it. He said the reason that the Lord didn't say the rich man's name was because he died and he went to hell. And the Bible says in Matthew 7 that if you die lost, he'll say, depart from me, you everlasting, into the fire. He said, because I never knew you, he said. In other words, he never knew you as you never knew him as your Savior, and he never knew you as his saved child. He knows you now as a sinner. But if you die lost, he won't know you then. When you say, hey, Lord, remember me. I was at Bethel Baptist Church on Sunday morning, September 14, 2008. The Lord said, I don't know you. You didn't get saved that morning. You didn't come down from your tree of pride. You didn't trust me that morning. You didn't ask me to save you that morning. He knows our little names. Can I tell you, he knows our location. The Bible said when Jesus came to the place. Now, Israel's not like Kentucky. There's not trees everywhere. But I'm sure there were more than one tree. But Jesus came to the place. He came to that tree where he was. Amen. He knows where you're at. I see people, when we start singing, I see people do like this sometimes. He looks around the book. I see people do like this sometimes. He kneels down. He knows where you are. He knows where some were when they were in their house. The Holy Ghost had them under conviction. He knew where they were. He came to their bedroom. He came to their living room. He came to their garage. He knew where you was at an altar of prayer, in a revival meeting, or Wednesday night, or Sunday morning. He knew where you were. He knows your name. He knows your location. Jesus is seeking those that are seeking Him. Someone said, I went to church. I've never heard or felt anything. Maybe you didn't go looking for Him. I found out when I look for Him, I find Him because He's looking for me. Amen. But He knew their name. He knew their location. And He knew His life. He come down from the tree and verse 7 said the others begin to talk. They said, He's gone home with that man that's a sinner. He don't know who he's dealing with. He don't know that that man is the biggest cheat. That man's the biggest thief. Why, he's beat people out of money. He's taken things from people. I tell you, everybody in Jerusalem hates that man. I tell you, he don't know who he is. Jesus is going home with him. And he's a sinner. Jesus knows more about him than they know about him. He knows all about him. And He knows all about you. He knew about your adultery. He knew about your lying. He knew about your drinking. He knew about your cursing. He knew about whatever sin was in mine or your life. He knew about it. But He still came. Pharisees, no doubt along the line, He didn't go to them. Religious leaders, He didn't go to them. You say, why? He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. Those that think they're all right. Those that think that they're better than everyone else. He didn't come to call them. But He come to call that old boy that knows he's a sinner and that old boy that'll look you in the eye with a lostness in his soul and say, preacher, I ain't no good. I ain't fit to be saved. I don't know if God would save me. I'm so mean. I don't know if God could ever save me. I've been so bad. I don't know if God could ever love me. He comes to that lady that's had five husbands. Got another one on the hook. He come to her. He didn't go to someone that once married, seemingly spotless life, no flaws in their life, and think, boy, I'm better than them because I've only been married one time. He didn't come to them and say, boy, I'm better than them. I've never been in jail. He didn't come to them and said, boy, I'll tell you, a drop of whiskey has never touched my lips. And I've never drunk a beer. There's never been a curse word come out of my mouth. He didn't come to them. Thank God for people like that. That's wonderful. But if they think because of they make statements like what I've said and I've heard them make it, if they think because of that they're better than someone else, my friend, if they think because of that they don't need to be saved, they're in bad shape. But I want you to know, whenever I deal with somebody and they say, preacher, I'm just an old sinner, I say, praise God, we might be able to do something here tonight because God saves old sinners. He knew his life. He knew his life. He knows your life. He knows my life. He knows even more than I know. Some things I don't even count as sin, he does. Some things I never even think about twice, he does. So many things in that Bible that it says is sin. Some people think a beer can, the woman's the only thing that's sin. Just get you a little piece of paper someday and write down all the things in that Bible that Bible says sin. You better get you a notebook. You'll need more than a piece. You see, what God's trying to do is God is trying to make us see we're sinners and we need to meet the Savior because the only hope we have is Jesus. See, the motive behind the meeting. You see here the man that he met. But I want us to look here at the miracle that manifested. For the Bible says in verse 10, this day is salvation. Come to this house. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And the Bible said he made haste and he came down. And I like what it says. It said he received him joyfully. He's glad to get him. He received him. The Bible said, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon his name. Received him. Someone said, you can't receive him. He did. Someone said, you can't receive him. I did. The Bible said, as many. I'll tell you what, somebody said, you can't receive him. Let me tell you this, you better receive him. That's true, you can't receive him, but he receives you. But thank God he's already received those that receive him. That's what he's doing down here. Amen. The Bible says that it was a miracle manifested. And as she sung, and that's the reason I had her to sing it, because the greatest of all miracles is salvation. You say, Preacher Rick, why is the greatest of all miracles salvation? Brother Wade, it's because that all miracles are rolled up in one in salvation. You say, what do you mean? I believe the first miracle in that Bible was water to wine. Now I want you to know that when salvation comes, salvation takes water, just plain, ordinary, something, and makes it into something else. Amen. It takes that that's water and makes it into that which brings joy. Amen. You see, they're all wrapped up in one when you get saved. There used to be an old boy come around here, and I liked the old boy. He was Pentecostal. But I liked him. I loved him. I believe he knew Jesus. I believe he's saved. But I just gave him a warning one time. And I said, buddy, I like you and I love you, and you can come any way you want to, anytime you want to come. But I said, if you ever start jabbering, it better be in a language I understand, and the only one I know is English.
Right. That's right.
But one day he'd see me at the hospital, and he'd come over and he'd say, Preacher, do you ever have anybody raised from the dead in your church? I said, well, he said, it's in the Bible. One day he said, Preacher, have you ever had anyone with blinded eyes opened in a service in your church? He said, it's in the Bible. He said, it happens over at our church. And one morning he said, Preacher, have you ever had anyone that crippled and couldn't walk, get up and walk and throw away the crutches and roll a wheelchair over in the corner? He said, it's in the Bible. And we do it at our church. And one Sunday morning, we had a great service, and just so happened on Monday, our paths crossed again. But this time I took the initiative. This time he didn't holler at me, I hollered at him. I said, hey! He said, what? I said, boy, you ought to have been at our church yesterday. He said, what happened? I said, you wouldn't believe it. I said, there was a blind man there. And he got his eyes open. He said, you don't mean it. I said, there was a crippled man there. And he got where he could walk. He said, tell more. I said, there come in a dead man, dead. And he got resurrected. He said, I never heard such. He said, how did it all happen? I said, he got saved. When a man gets saved, his eyes get open. When a man gets saved, those that walked according to the course of this world begin to walk that straight and narrow way. When a man gets saved, they that were dead in trespasses and sin are brought to life by the power of God. I'm telling you, there was a miracle that manifested when he met Jesus. Amen. You see, there was the miracle of reception. The Bible said, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And the Bible said he made haste and came down and received him. But the miracle to me is not that he came down, but that he came down. God, who loved us while we were yet ungodly, Christ died for us. Thank God, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He that had no sin of his own came down to die for my sin. He that did not have to suffer because of his sin suffered because of my sin. He that had no whipping come and took my whipping. I'm telling you, thank God he came down. The miracle of reception. The miracle of restitution. You got saved, Eddie. And he said, if I've wronged anybody, I want to make it right. Old time salvation will make you want to make it right. I'm just going to say this briefly in passing, but God saved me many years ago. I got right with God. I got backslid and cold and indifferent. And got right with God as about a 20-some-year-old man. But there's always something I did as a kid, as a young guy, as a teenager. There's always something I did that it is always there. And I knew God had forgiven me my sins. And I've even asked him, forgive me of that sin. But I couldn't get rid of it. It involved money. Quite a bit of money. And one day the devil was dealing with me about that, Eddie. He'd always bring it up. And I said, devil, that's it. I said, you bothered me that last time. I said, devil, you're not going to do that anymore. And I got the money out and I put it in an envelope and I mailed it where I needed to go. And I said, years ago, I said, I took this money and I said, I want to make things right. I want you to know I got saved. I'm right with God. And I said, this is wrong and I want to do it. I couldn't make everything right I did wrong in my life. But God put that on my heart. You say, why? I don't know. All I know is the minute that went in the mail, it left me. And I ain't worried about it since. Amen. I'm telling you, there's the miracle of restitution. I mean, what is it that makes a man want to make right what he's done wrong? It's nothing in him. It's Jesus. Let me say this, and we'll be done. But the miracle of regeneration. The Bible said, Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. Someone said, you can't know you're saved. He did. You argued him. He did. One said, preacher, you won't know till you get there. Paul did. He said, I'm now ready to be departed. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is a miracle of regeneration. That's just a big long word for saying he got saved. He got saved. It's a miracle of it. It's a miracle that could happen that fast, ain't it? We're not told his age. And I'd say running a job and everything, he had to be up probably 40s or 50 years old. A lot of wrong in his life. A lot of sin in his life. Remember how long it takes for Jesus walking under a tree and for him to come down and confess Jesus and receive Jesus? That's how long it took. It's a miracle, isn't it? Look at your life. Some of you didn't get saved later on in life. Man, look at your life. Let God show you this thing's real. Let the Holy Ghost remind you there's something to this. The person that always drank, the person that always just had a sinful life, no regard. Let's say they didn't drink. Let's say they didn't live the rough life that some did, but just no regard for God, the Bible, the church, or Jesus. And then one day the Holy Ghost, in the goodness of God, convicts them and shows them they're a sinner. And through the goodness of God, He gives them faith to believe. And through the goodness of God, He gives His Son to die for their sins. And through the goodness of God, He draws them to Himself. And through the goodness of God, He forgives them when they confess and ask Him to save them. And I mean Saturday, a no good, low life, Christ-hating, Bible-rejecting, what nothing to do with church-going person. But on a Sunday morning, they met Jesus. And on Monday, they go back, and it's different. And someone says, what happened to them? What happened to them? Then I met the Master. Amen. Changed by the power of God. I'm glad this morning that I can stand right here, look you right in your God-given eyeballs, God looking down on me, the Holy Bible laying in front of me, the Holy Spirit in me, and say, thank God I met Him. I've met the Lord. If you've met Jesus, you ought to thank God for it this morning. You ought to bow down and say, Jesus, I'm glad I met you. I'm glad you come into my life. Thank God for that place wherever you first knew the Lord. But if you're here today unsaved, it's real, folks. If you're a Zacchaeus here today in this crowd, and you're looking for Him, He's looking for you. He's come by this way today. You need to come down to this altar of prayer. You need to do like Zacchaeus and make haste and come down. Do what he did. Say, Lord, I'm just an old sinner. But receive Him joyfully. He'll go home with you today. And your life can never be the same because you met Jesus. Oh, Zacchaeus, he was the tax collector. But on that day, he got an audit from God. And he come up short of the glory of God. And today, if you're not saved, you're short of the glory of God. And you need to come this morning. Father, thank you for helping me to preach about you this morning. I hope, Lord, I lifted you up more in the sermon than I did anything or anybody else. Anybody else. Anybody else. Anybody else.